Morning. You guys can turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians. A couple questions from public reading. How do you think that turned out that these guys didn't drive out this group of people or this group of people or this? Think that turned out well?
No.
No, they were supposed to drive them out completely, weren't they? And because they didn't, later on they became a snare in their side. Now it's interesting, point comes up, well, we couldn't drive these guys out because they had iron chariots. If you read through the rest of the scripture, guys, it's not because the iron chariots weren't the problem. Those aren't a problem for God. It's because of what Nolan was talking about. These guys didn't have faith. They didn't believe, so they saw the iron chariots and they said, oh, we can't do it because these guys have iron chariots. I can't. Can't is a big word. We're going to get into that a little bit today. I did think of a little joke, though, while I was reading through this. And you guys know how funny I am, so here goes. But it talks about the daughter of Caleb, right? And it says she alighted from her donkey. And that reminded me that the Bible actually talks about cigarettes. Cigarettes are mentioned in the Scriptures. When they brought a wife back for Isaac, a lady named Rebecca, the old King James says she lit off her camel. And just wanted to throw that out there. Cigarettes have been around for a long time. And that's as funny as I get. Oh, but one other thing. The people were hassling me about this, since it is my anniversary time, to make sure that I went on public record in my wife's presence of what got mentioned at the Peaks. We were talking at the Peaks that the theme of the Peaks was victorious through suffering. And what's interesting is that there's a lot of things that are mentioned in the book of 1st and 2nd Peter about that. And the one that got skipped in the messages really was the husband and wife relationships. So Mark Miller, his wife's here, I'll throw him on. He and Mike Ferguson were asked, so are you going to preach about basically the husband-wife relationships and how to be victorious through suffering? That must be the one that you got assigned. I didn't, so I did go up there and I started reading that passage. My dad looks at me like, you're supposed to be in 2 Peter. 2 Peter. It's okay, Dad, we got this. But, read through that and how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. And then I told a little joke. Got to give honor to whom honor's due here. This came from Mike Ferguson. He's a lot funnier than me. And joke talks about the three ring circus of marriage. There's the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffering. And just figure, I'll throw that out there. I am thankful for 18 good years of marriage. But lest anybody have the wrong idea, all you young couples out there, if you want a good marriage, it takes work. Okay? And you're going to have to learn how to suffer together to make it good. So be willing to go through that. I'll let you know how I'm doing later. Sure. Jennifer, I hope you get Mark today, or Mark when you see him again too, because I'm sure I'll get mine. All right, Philippians chapter 4. Appreciative of the stewardship this morning too. Man, one thing about Super Dave, he has that name for a reason. He is always doing super. And what he was talking about is true. And I appreciate guys like Dave that get up here and stewardship. This is real stuff that we, from his line of work, and where these are things that we all got to go through. And that mentality that we have in life, and it's all about, this is what Christianity is about. Am I going to be the kind of guy that's always got my hand out to take something? Or am I going to be somebody that's got something to offer always? When we come to the Lord, I mean, it doesn't matter who your boss is, does it? Because our boss is in heaven. And he deserves our best, and we want to bring that to him. So really appreciative for that as well today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's pray. Lord, we do praise you. We thank you for everything you've done for us. We thank you for your word that is true. We're thankful that within it, we have it's the seed, the imperishable seed. It's able to build us up, able to give us this inheritance that within, Father, the word is everything that we need to be able to grow in our faith. We know that faith does come from hearing, and hearing by your word. Lord, we recognize the absolute necessity of faith on our part, that if there's a limiting factor here in what is being accomplished, that's the factor. And so we do cry out to you, Lord, increase our faith. I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I would communicate it clearly, and that we can all leave the assembly today with the right attitude, really ready to take on the world for you, our King. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Appreciative for the ongoing work of the building. Man, I saw a bunch of people out here this week. I know this week alone, Mr. Hopper, the senior. I know Pat Hopper was out here. I know Justin Bolton. I know Josh Gohl. I saw Jeremy Vandersloot get roped in on that deal. Had to borrow him a little for some help myself. I know that Chantel and Jeff and Matthew and Micah and just people contributing where they can. Appreciate for everybody. I know I'm sure I missed some people too, but appreciate everybody and contributing where you can to complete this physical building project. And brother, we are working on a spiritual building project. Now I'm shifting gears a little bit with my message, but just want to keep our focus here, what really matters and what we're building spiritually. And I said last time, I do think it's cool when you see this in the physical realm. It is a good picture of what happens spiritually, doesn't it? It's all of us chipping in and putting in where we can with what we're good at. That's how the temple of the Lord is built. And so I want to encourage everybody to keep doing that. I still haven't made it back to 2 Corinthians. Someday I'm going to get there. But I'm starting a new series today, and these are just some of my favorite verses of the Bible. I like them. You start asking, that's one of my favorites. We could go forever. But ones that I have memorized that I go to and grab onto to help me in moments of pressure or moments when I need encouragement that I can immediately go to and help me get right and be able to accomplish things for the Lord. Philippians 4:13, brother, is one of those. This is probably the first verse I ever memorized in my life. My mom was big on this one, and I think it's the first verse all my kids have memorized in their lives. It's a great verse. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You know, everything that we are faced with, there is our mind quickly goes to one of two things. Either we're going to figure out how we're going to get this job done, or we start making excuses as to why it can't be done. Everything we're faced with, our mind, quickly, we're either going to figure out how to do this, or why it can't be done. Can't is one of the biggest killers in the world, guys. A simple word. And I'll tell you, this was a four-letter word in our family. A few things we absolutely were not allowed to do, and saying can't was one of those. On more than a few occasions, my dad had a creative way of explaining to us that really when you say can't, what can't means is when you say I can't, it means I won't. You understand that? When you're saying I can't, what you're saying is I am not going to do this. It's kind of weird sometimes the way we use words to soften the blow of things in our own. You know, can't is short for can not. Sometimes just lengthen it out and say, I can not do this. What you're saying is, I won't do that. I will not do this. The idea I can't is crippling because, guys, you know you're beat before you even start. What sort of real effort are you going to put into something when you've already made up your mind it isn't going to happen? The way we think does dictate what we're going to do. Go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. Yeah, I'm with Super Dave on this. Attitude is huge. You know, the word attitude doesn't show up a lot in the Scriptures, but he used another word synonymously with it, and it's the same one I was thinking of, mindset. Okay, where is your mindset? Okay? Where is your attitude at? And really, attitude is probably the next level. We have an inner picture of ourselves. Our attitude is the way that self-image is being portrayed. Okay? So it's really one layer away, really, of who we are. And so if we're Eeyores, okay, negative, down the dumps attitude, then probably not, you're not going to have a lot of people wanting to be around you and really wanting to hear about Christ from you. Hey, if you have I can't do, your first thing is always I can't, you're not going to get anything done. Proverbs 23, verse 7, it's actually, the context is talking about a selfish man. Let's read verse 6. Don't eat the bread of a selfish man or desire his delicacies, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. He says you eat and drink, but his heart's not with you. Here's a guy that's projecting, oh yeah, go ahead and have some of this. But inside, this guy doesn't want to share. As a man thinks within himself, that's who he really is. We all deal with people all the time. You always get, you know, the fakey stuff. Yeah, when people are saying one thing and you can tell inside what they're saying is exactly opposite of what they're thinking. That what you're thinking, what's really going on inside is who you really are. And so consistently over a long period, who you are, or the way you see yourself is going to be borne out in what you say and what you do. We all consistently act in accordance with the way that we see ourselves. What I mean by that is every once in a while I can step outside of that and do something different, for good or for bad, maybe different than the way I see. But consistently, you track this over a period of time, the way you see yourself is the way you're going to act. When I ran track and cross country for the Bobcats for a couple years, we had a guy that was an amazing runner. His name was Shannon Butler. Won the national championships in all levels of college track. 1 year in the 10,000 meters, which is basically 6.2 miles, and 1 year in 5,000 meters, which is 3.1 miles. And Shannon Butler he clearly, obviously had a tremendous amount of talent. Okay, to be a national champion, those things, you got to be talented. But he had some other things, and one of the things that stuck out to me always about Shannon Butler is this guy had an ability to push himself through the pain barrier more so than any of the rest of us did. He could push that pain barrier back and push through it when he was hurting. There's a time that I saw him run. He'd actually got his jaw broken and concocted a story that he slipped on the ice running. That wasn't exactly the way it happened. You can just think college and alcohol, and you know the way those things work. But broken his jaw. He had this jaw wired shut. I saw him running indoor, a mile indoors with his jaw wired shut in a workout, 4 minutes and 20 seconds. And I don't know if that means anything to you, but the fastest I ever ran a mile, and I was a decent runner, the fastest I ever ran a mile with full air capacity was 4:24. Okay? So 4:20 indoor mile in a workout. This wasn't a race with his jaw wired shut, and he incredible ability to push through pain. But why could he do this? Why was he able to? He had some more talent maybe than the rest of us. But I'll tell you, what it came down to really is his inner picture of himself. This guy didn't think he could lose. There's a picture of him still in the field house in Bozeman, where the Bobcats try to play basketball. There's a picture in there of him, and he's crossing the finish line, the Big Sky Conference Championship race, and he's looking back Which way was it? He's looking back and he's laughing at the guy in second. Guy just right behind him. And if you knew Shannon Butler, what he never lost a Big Sky Conference championship race in all of his years of running for the Cats. But this particular race was a 5,000 meters, and his closest competitor was a guy from Northern Arizona who also was a national class runner. This guy was a 1,500 meter runner, or mile runner. And basically, they'd made a bet beforehand, and this guy had told Butler, if you let me stay with you till the last 200 meters, I'll beat you. And they made a bet, and he followed through on it. And now, if you know, you don't want to get in a race in the last 200 meters with a guy that's a guy that's got more pure speed than you. They made this bet, they followed through on it, last 200 meters, and Butler beats him, and he's laughing at him. Look, he did not think that he could lose. Oh, guys, there's a reason I'm bringing this up. What you accomplish is dictated by what you think inside. True for good or for bad. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've known people. You know them too. Matter of fact, this is most of the world. People that are losers. They have a loser mentality. I've seen people come to Christ and not be able to shed that loser. I'm not going to say not be able to. Not willing to shed that loser mentality. And because they don't shed that loser mentality, they continue to lose when they could win. I've seen guys that they go and they get a good job. They get an interview and knock it out of the park and get a good job, but because it is not consistent with their inner picture of themselves, they find a way to lose that job. They take a day off and go skiing and don't call in even. I'm telling the truth. These things happen. An inner picture. You see people, they get married and they find a way to sabotage their marriage. Really. Why is that? Because of an inner picture of themselves. We see these sorts of things all the time. So the inner man of losers is governed by a simple word. It's can't. I can't. They find excuses why they cannot. Winners are governed by a simple word. Saints are governed by a simple word. I can. Where there is a will, there is a way. Brother, one thing my dad taught us, nothing wrong with asking for help. You need help. That's different than I can't. I can is, I want to figure out how to do this. If I got to ask for help, I'll ask for help. But there is a mission in front of me, and we will get this done. Needing to learn is okay. Needing to get coached up, whatever. It's okay to say, can you please show me how to do this? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Like I said, one of the first verses I ever memorized. My mom had us do that for a reason. Because, and I can honestly say, brethren, I want to be careful because I don't want to line myself up to you guys to use against me. But in my life, there's nothing that can be thrown out there that I will say I can't. Whatever is thrown our way, Philippians 4:13 is something that I can hang on to. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I like the poem, if you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you'd like to win, but you think you can't, it's almost a cinch you won't. If you think you'll lose, you're lost. For out in the world we find success begins with a fellow's will. It's all in the state of mind. If you think you're outclassed, you are. If you've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win the prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but sooner or later the one who wins is the one who thinks he can. It is in a state of mind. It's, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But Brian, one thing though, we realize, that being said, this is not true for everybody. Shannon Butler didn't think he could lose in track, but that guy's life, unless he's since repented and become a Christian, but the last time that I have seen Shannon, he wasn't a winner in life. He's not a Christian. Lots of other things in life have taken him out. Non-Christians can only say this for certain things. They, I can do something, but they can't say I can do all things, because they don't have through Christ who strengthens me. And we find we do need help. Historical record confirms the truth of the Scriptures. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. The record of all of mankind, their greatest champions being placed against the devil, they lost over and over. We could say, really, the devil's record on earth. He's probably, his record's like 6 billion wins. Oh, and one loss. There is one loss. The one that he's lost is to Jesus Christ our Lord. His record is he's won everyone. He's the one we need on our side. Who do you want in your corner? You want a victor. You want a proven winner. You want somebody who can actually show you how to win. It's interesting. In Jeremiah the prophet, he basically, you know, the Lord calls this guy away as a youth, and he basically, at some point, with all the persecution that he's enduring and people aren't listening, he basically says, God, you tricked me. You tricked me. I didn't know this was going to be this tough. I thought people would listen. And he wants to quit, but he, in the middle of that, all the persecutions that are coming around him on every side, he says, but the Lord is with me like a dread champion. The Lord. I like that picture from our youth camp of that verse. A guy with a boxer there, and he's got the heavyweight belt. That's who Jesus Christ is. He is the victor. He is the dread champion. Everybody's afraid of him. He can take on all comers. Guys, I know the way my mind works, and I'm going to make an assumption here that, you know, as strange as I am, that our minds have some similarities that you can relate to. Doubts like to creep up. I'll just take an example of something that I'm not good at, but every once in a while I can do okay. Bowling. I'm not even going to try to bowl up here. I'm getting old enough. I'm having problems with my left knee. But, you know, bowling, and I know Patrick back there, he's the bowler. But for me, Patrick, when I was bowling with the youth group some, I got to where I could consistently, you know, get 140, 150. That was good for me. But, you know, you're there, and I don't have any spin. I just go straight down the line on the arrows, right? I look those arrows down, and, okay, straight down, and I can do decent, right? But you get a couple of good ones, and all these little things start coming in my mind. You know, everybody's watching you. Oh, Luke's starting to do good. I'm no good at this. I know I'm no good at all these little nagging doubts. Okay? Same thing. Some of you guys that have golfed with me. If I had hit a good golf shot, one good golf shot, and all of a sudden all these other thoughts, I'm no good at this. Okay? What are you going to do to be good? You got to push those negative thoughts out, don't you? Okay? What about spiritually, brother? Those doubts are a killer. Those little I can't thoughts. I can't find a job in this economy. Well, let's just ask a question here. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Give us this day our daily bread. We got to change I can't. I can. With the help of Christ, I can. I can't make my marriage work. What about Christ? Does the Lord, who ordained marriage in the first place, the two shall become one flesh, is He able to teach you what real love looks like? He able to teach you how to sacrifice? Can He help you realize, maybe this is the reality, can He help you realize you can give more than what you thought you could give? We've got to change can't to can. I can't have a good attitude. I'm not wired that way. Okay. Hey, I understand we have different personalities. Sometimes we got to change some things about our personalities too to be effective, and the Lord can help us do that. But you know, I'm not saying your level has to be, you know, Luke Wilson-ish. You know, hey, what's going on? How's everybody doing? That's just your personality can be completely different, but good attitude. You can still have a good attitude. You still come in and be cheerful about the day, cheerful about your job, cheerful about the people that you get to see. That's tough sometimes, isn't it? But change can't to can. I just can't get control of my thoughts. I'm in this whole depression. Hey, guys, depression is real. Hey, if you let yourself, the further you let yourself down that slope, the tougher it is to get out. Christ is here to change can't to can. Can you take every thought captive the obedience of Jesus Christ? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. One thing I love about Jesus is He doesn't ask us to do things that He hasn't done. Hebrews 4 verse 15. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Guys, Jesus has been here. He did take on the devil on the devil's home turf. And you know, He got the best shots from Satan. That Satan could throw. The heaviest armor that the devil had in his arsenal got thrown at Christ. Now put yourself in Jesus' position for a second and think what would have happened. Think the thoughts that were going through Jesus' mind. Hey, did you know that Herod's seeking to kill you? Oh boy. I can't do this. But that's not what Jesus said. Hey, you go tell that fox, right? I'm going to do this, and the third day I reach my goal. There's a can-do attitude. You can't take on the sins of everybody. That's kind of what's pitched by the devil. Yeah, you're right. I just don't know if Jesus would have done that, guys, we'd be. There's no hope for us. That's not the mentality that Jesus had. Jesus, you look at Jesus. He is, in His prayer, in John chapter 17, one of the things that Jesus is doing through that prayer is He is getting His mind set before the cross. Before He crosses that Kidron and goes through the Garden of Gethsemane where He is going to be squeezed. That pressure is going to be put on Him. He does ask the Lord if there's any other way, but never does He say, I can't do this way. You look what He says in that prayer before I have finished. What you have given me, I have carried it out. There is no doubt in Jesus' mind that He is going to do this. Brother, Philippians 4:13 is there for you and I to say the same thing. I can do this. I don't know what's on your plate. I don't know what hill is in front of you. What you got to, the battle is that you have to be actively engaged in right now. But I know Philippians 4:13 is true if you're a Christian. You need to take this, you need to get your mind set, and you say, I can do it. Jesus, He is our advocate, isn't He? He's our helper. He's our high priest. He's our counselor. He coaches us up so that we can win that can-do attitude. Guys, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus knows what you need to win, and He is willing to... Can I put it in these terms? You have a personal trainer. He knows exactly what you need to be victorious on that final day. And He is willing to put you through a lot of difficult workouts right now so that you can have victory on that final day. And this is one thing I just want us to remember, guys. We are all a little different. So, for example, with my boys, I train them a little differently. They have different inherent strengths and different inherent weaknesses. So you have to use their strengths and then help them shore up some things where they need that. Athletically, academically, across the board. God's our Father. He knows each one of us. So I'm going to throw this out for free. I need to be careful when I see a brother or sister struggling with something that's a piece of cake for me. How could you? Hey, you know, to steal the words of Jesus when he talked to Peter, don't worry about him. You worry about you. Okay, that's a loose paraphrase, but don't worry about John, Peter. I got him here. You worry about you. Hey guys, we got our own program we're working on here. Now sometimes we can give a helping hand to our brother or sister, but don't be standing in a position of judgment on them for the things that they're going through. The Lord knows exactly what they need, and He's willing to put those things in their place that they got to pass that test. The way Mike Ferguson said, you got to run your race and you got to hit your marks. Can't be worried about the other guy. We can help each other if we see a brother or sister struggling, but don't stand in a position of condemnation, because what's easy for you might not be for them, and what's difficult for you might be a piece of cake for them. Flip the tables a little bit. I try to communicate that to my kids, because sometimes what is easy for one, they kind of want to rub in a little on the other one. And you can play that game all day long. That's the Lord is, you've got a special workout program designed just for you. And we know He's not going to allow you to go through something that you can't endure. You can do it. These workouts aren't designed for your entertainment. That much is true. They aren't easy. You look at Paul in the context we opened from, he knew the secret of going hungry and of suffering need. That doesn't sound easy to me. Come on, guys. I have a tough time with fast day. We eat pretty good. Apostle Paul went lots of times, he didn't eat good. In that context, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There are times that our personal trainer is putting us through the paces and we just want to quit. Hey, quitting's not an option. I remember some workouts that I ran in track. Man, I don't know how to explain this without... I'll just try to say it nicely. There are times you feel so crummy, you think you're going to mess your britches and everything else while you're out there. Okay? You're pushing it. Somebody's laughing up here, but that's what it feels. You want to quit. You want to walk off. You want to say, I can't do it today. And if your coach is going to... You need a bathroom break. Take a bathroom break. Make it quick and get back out here. We're going to finish this workout, right? The mind starts playing all sorts of games on why you can cut this thing short. Guys, our Heavenly Father knows what He's doing. You read it in Hebrews chapter 12. He gives you exactly what you need. The discipline of the Lord. It's not easy in the moment. It's not all punishment either. A lot of it's training. It can be punishment. It's not limited to that. It's training. In the end, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Isn't that what you want? So we know from James, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. And the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Yeah, that's right. When it comes race day, you're glad you went through those workouts. When everybody else is fading off at the end and you got something left because you pushed through. Guys, there's a finish line. There's some things, tough things coming, I think, before that finish line. It's the last part of the race that really separates guys. That's coming. You need to have this mentality, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's a little... poster that I had. My mom got me and I had it for years on a door in my house. It said, winners never quit. Quitters never win.
Guys, quitting's not an option.
You need help? Ask for help. Ask Him for help as part of I can. But do not let can't be in your vocabulary. Throw it away. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you don't have that verse memorized, I encourage you, memorize it. It's one you can hang on to. When times are tough, you can grab on to that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's stand.